You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
Ransomware remains a problem, and now it's being combined with DDoS. A Kansas hospital finds that paying the ransom may no longer get you your files back. Tesla Crypt is giving way to Cryptex. The FBI warns that malicious USB charging devices are being found in the wild. They contain keyloggers. Are U.S. cyber operations cyber bombs, or are they battle space preparation? And I wonder, those passwords I find easy to remember, they're still good, right? I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. Ransomware continues to trouble enterprises worldwide. It's increasingly being teamed with distributed denial-of-service attacks, that earlier form of cyber extortion, and both sophisticated and blunt instruments of attack are being used in the wild. More criminals are making use of combined ransomware and DDoS attacks. KnowBe4, Invincia, and FireEye are tracking this development, and many observers think it represents the new normal. Such attacks are inexpensive to mount and promise a good payoff. We can expect more of them. We heard from Travis Smith, a security researcher at Tripwire, on why ransomware has become so attractive to criminals. Compared with other forms of cybercrime, he said, ransomware is easy to monetize. Profiting from spamware or purloined data is time-consuming and in many cases requires more expertise than the typical criminal has. These forms of cybercrime also carry a higher risk of your being detected and apprehended. It's also grown easier to get ransom demands paid. Smith said, quote, "The rise of anonymous cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, has made it easier than ever for attackers to infect a machine with ransomware. The success of ransomware has made it possible for cybercriminals to make hundreds or thousands of dollars per infection, and they get paid immediately." End quote. So looking at the currently available ransomware, Tesla Crypt still seems to be on its way to retirement. We stress seems because of the frequency with which malware, botnets, and threat actors have returned from what was thought to be their graves. Trend Micro adds its voice to those who see Tesla Crypt's former users moving to Cryptex, one of the more sophisticated criminal tools. The blunt instrument is represented again by cyber.police, whose foolish and unpersuasive lock screen message shows a 12-year-old scareware design sense, as in, "You're caught! The cyber police have got you! Are you ever in trouble?" But all that aside, cyber.police is a nuisance and remains a problem for Android devices. Backing up your data remains a sound approach to protecting yourself against ransomware, especially if you're an individual user. It's a good practice for an enterprise, too, but in that context, it's more complicated and more difficult. Many enterprises have been tempted to pay the ransom in order to restore crucial systems to operation. This has been true in particular of healthcare enterprises, where availability of data and systems is crucial to patient care. Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital in Los Angeles paid ransom in such circumstances and succeeded in restoring its systems. But payment is no longer a reliable path to recovery, if indeed it ever was. Kansas Heart Hospital in Wichita sustained a ransomware attack and made the judgment that it was better to pay the ransom, as Hollywood Presbyterian did, than to fight through the attack, as MedStar did. So Kansas Heart paid, but the attackers reneged on their promise to release the encryption keys. The criminals decrypted a fraction of the affected data, then demanded further payment. Kansas Heart has had enough. It's no longer paying. Keyloggers are still with us. The U.S. FBI recently issued a warning that it had found USB charging devices bearing keyloggers. Be careful what you plug into your device, no matter how innocent it may have looked at that trade show or just sitting there in the parking lot. In industry news, it appears that Blue Coat, privately held for the last 6 years, may be preparing for an IPO. There are rumors of a move in this direction as early as next week. U.S. Army Cyber Command has integrated cyber operations into more comprehensive combined arms training, and the other services have similar programs underway, so the capability is being increasingly mainstreamed. In essence, as NSA Director and Cyber Command Head Admiral Rogers put it last week, the Department of Defense is determined not to give an enemy uncontested freedom of action in cyberspace. U.S. Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter has been surprisingly open about the offensive cyber operations against ISIS, even describing them as dropping cyber bombs. This is, for the most part, metaphorical, and some observers take exception to it. Defense One, for example, argues in an opinion piece that cyber operations are better understood as, quote, what they are, changing spreadsheets, intercepting email, jamming comms, and a lot of deception, end quote. Thus, not so much bombing as battle space preparation. And battle space preparation is indeed what the tactical cyber exercises appear to include. Finally, Microsoft's Azure Active Directory is now blocking weak passwords that have appeared among leaked data. Thus, reports the Register, Microsoft, even with an exclamation point for an I, a zero for an O, and a dollar sign for an S, will not be accepted. No word yet on Ninja, Let Me In, or 123456, so I figure I'm still good, right? I mean, I use that for everything.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm joined once again by Marcus Roschecker from the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security, one of our academic and research partners. Marcus, been seeing recently that the FCC and Congress, when it comes to the Internet of Things, they're saying that this might not be the best place to impose a lot of regulatory law.
Yes. Well, at this point, it seems that imposing regulatory schemes on the Internet of Things area would probably be premature. We're seeing a tremendous explosion of IoT devices. Of course, it seems like these days everything is starting to be connected to the Internet. And we're certainly seeing some pretty cool things come out of that, and consumers are demanding this interconnectivity. But at the same time, this also raises tremendous vulnerabilities when it comes to these devices. As more and more devices are connected, the vulnerabilities are increased. And the real problem is that a lot of these devices, while they are connected to the networks, are not secure enough when it comes to securing people's privacy or personal information. And there's a real concern that more needs to be done when it comes to securing those IoT devices. Implementing a regulatory scheme on top of this IoT field seems to also run counter to the incredible innovation that we're seeing in the IoT field. Certainly, there are new ideas and new devices being developed almost on a daily basis. And the fear is that if a regulatory scheme is placed on top of this, it would severely diminish the innovation that we're seeing these days. So there's a natural tension here between the innovation part and the security part of IoT. There's no real good solution right now, I think, but certainly everyone recognizes that more needs to be done when it comes to securing these IoT devices.
Yeah, there was a story in The Hill recently where they quoted one FTC commissioner who said that they needed to exercise regulatory humility. I think that's an interesting take on the situation.
I think there's a recognition on Congress's part and the community at large that the regulatory scheme does have a role to play, but when it comes to a new field like IoT, one really needs to think about how to best implement those regulations. We certainly don't want to stifle innovation, but we do also need the security that is going to protect those devices and the data that is being stored on these devices. Right now, we're a little premature in terms of trying to implement some sort of regulatory scheme, but I think further down the road, we'll probably see more action in this field.
All right, Marcus Roschecker, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire Daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.